Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. This can be found on page 806 of the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me up by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, to these bones I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How many of you have heard that story before? It's kind of a hard one to forget, isn't it? Those images, so vivid, enough to haunt you. I'm so glad I'm not Ezekiel. It sounds to me more like a nightmare than a mountaintop experience of God. It must have been chilling, if not downright frightening, with those bones crunching underfoot, the clatter of joining bones, the vacant stares of the almost living, God's commands, and seeming impossibility of what Ezekiel was being asked to do. In reality, the story is not about bones or about Ezekiel and how good a preacher he is. It's a picture of God's presence, God's power, and God's spirit. It resonates with us perhaps because there are times in our lives when we've had that dry bone experience. Times when we feel cut off from God and each other, and cut off even from ourselves, and we are spiritually drier than those bones Ezekiel talks about. This is not just the truth about life today, but was also the truth about life way back when the vision was given. Ezekiel was a prophet during a dark time in Israel's history, when all of Israel's hopes and expectations of life had been dashed, and all of Israel's expectations and hopes of God had been dashed. His latter ministry was to bring hope to those exiled in Babylon after Jerusalem was destroyed. And God spoke to Ezekiel in powerful ways, including visions like this one. So it was, in the power of God's Spirit, Ezekiel found himself standing atop a valley of human bones. God asked Ezekiel if this brittle, lifeless heap of bones could live. Well, what would you say? My immediate reaction lies somewhere between "you've got to be kidding," and "I certainly hope not." But Ezekiel, wiser than I, remembered he was talking to the Lord of the universe before he spoke, something I might need to learn. With respect for who he knew God to be, he replied, "Only you know the answer to that, O God." That was quite a statement of faith. But the encounter, the test to Ezekiel's faith, was just beginning. God told Ezekiel to preach to the congregation that was already long past dead. Now, there's a challenge for a preacher. It's difficult enough to know to preach and know what to say so that living people hear you. God voiced the expectation that Ezekiel should preach to bones so they could hear the word of God. Again, what a challenge, since ears had long since dried up to dust and hearing should have been impossible. But preach Ezekiel did. He preached to bones that were crunching underfoot and disintegrating into dust, even as the words left his mouth. And the bones began to join with bones as the bodies reassembled and were clothed in flesh. At first, zombie-like, the bodies were lifeless. Their eyes were vacant. Again, not exactly an ideal congregation for getting a message across. Undeterred, Ezekiel awaited instructions, trusting God more than his own senses. And then he obeyed the voice that was greater than all other voices. And as he did so, Ezekiel's word and God's word became one and brought life. As Ezekiel called and God's breath breathed life into all flesh, flesh lived. The bodies became human beings. Remember the question, can these bones live? The answer is obvious. Yes, Lord. You can breathe life wherever you want. This message from God was the word that Ezekiel was given to preach. No matter how hopeless a situation looks, it is not beyond the redemption of God. God can breathe life where death can seem to us to be the final answer. The truth was that Ezekiel's task to preach to the exiles seemed as impossible to him as preaching to those bones. You see, all of Israel was grieving the loss of loved ones. They were grieving the loss of the way of practicing religion. The temple itself had been destroyed. Sound familiar? They were grieving the loss of their way of life. Everything was changing and had changed. Life had not turned out as they had expected. God had not acted as they expected God to act. And so they had stopped listening for the words of God to them. Stopped asking God to ask. Their spirits had shriveled within them. They were disconnected, discouraged, and unable to hear God's words, as unable to hear God's words as a valley of dry bones. But the truth about God was that God had not forgotten them. God had not stopped acting in the world or among them. So, as often is the case, God called that person, this time Ezekiel, to remind God's people that they are who they are, whose they are, and who they are. As a result of the vision, in the power of God's Spirit, Ezekiel spoke God's word, reminding the people that God was greater than their situation. As he preached God's word, and Ezekiel's word became one just as it had in the vision and brought life. And God's Spirit resurrected hope and brought reassurance of God's presence and faithfulness and God acting in all times and acting for them. and people's trust in God was renewed and passed on. Eventually, they were restored to Jerusalem, came out of Babylon. It was a long time to come yet. But through this story, generations have been reminded of God's faithfulness, God's power to bring life into every time and every situation. This vision is recorded and words remembered for all times, including our own, for all people, including us, to remind us that God is still able to breathe life into any situation, no matter how dead it seems. That God still acts and hears our prayers. God still redeems people. I see evidence of this thirst for God, this spiritual dryness of the bones all around today. I see a need for reassurance that God is faithful to us. So when I encountered the following story in a book called Accidental Saints, with apologies to my Bible study because we looked at it there too, it resonated with the spiritual thirst expressed by many in this day and age. He was a man, an ordinary man, in a congregation who resonated with the dry bones. It went like this. A movie star-looking Fortune 500 company guy wrote this for his congregation. He said he was dry inside, that nothing he tried had made a difference. Not a website or a relationship, no new technology or video game, no exercise or diet or supplement, no job or office or title on his business card, no amount of Diet Cola or good scotch or bad beer, no self-help book or therapist or self-improvement class, no car, house, or other status symbol that could be bought. He said they have all done nothing more than temporarily anesthetized the longing in my soul to be complete, to be whole, to be connected, to be okay, to love and be loved as I am, with too much debt, too much weight, too much geek or gray, and not enough of everything else. He said he despaired that his trip on this rock flying around the sun must be a sick cosmic joke. But then he remembered the valley of dry bones, where there was no hope of life, and God telling Ezekiel to cry out to the bones, to God's children, to tell them to rise, to tell them to rise, to tell them to listen and to rise. And they, the bones, the children of God, listened. And God lifted them up and put them back together and breathed life into them, filling them with God's spirit so they could live, bringing new life where there once was death, bringing life into hopelessness and despair. And he concluded, hearing that brings light in the darkness. It brings hope. And that is sufficient, he said. I don't know about you, but I believe him. I believe him, and I believe that that is exactly what Ezekiel was trying to say. It was exactly what the Hebrew people needed to hear. It was exactly what we need to hear, that God's breath brings life. God's breath still brings life where there is death and darkness, where there is any darkness. God's breath brings hope in despair to us where we are, how we are. God's love never fails. Today we gather around a table with symbolic foods that remind us, so we are not going to forget, that God's breath brings life from death. We remember together that God is with us, that the risen Christ walks with us. The Spirit brings life into us. Here we remember that no one is too cynical, too far gone, or too dry. And the truth is that knowing that, we also know that the world is dying for you, for us, to believe that God is not finished. Not just to listen to Ezekiel, but to trust enough to bring God's message to the world. The world is dying for us to act like we believe that God is not finished with them yet. Remember the question? Can these bones live? Oh God, you know. You have shown us. Now what should we do about that?